Hello everyone, this is the Red News Fanzine Podcast. Thank you all for listening, and thank you all for buying the mag. And if you don't buy the mag, buy the mag. But if you want to support us a little bit more, we also have a Patreon that you can sign up to, and it's patreon.com/rednews. Now, here's the podcast. Goodbye.
Hello everyone, it's extraordinary early. It's Derby Day. There's a buzz in the air. About 9:30, we're waiting for Nick. Nathan's early as ever. We'll see if Nick's going to be late. One of Nathan's eyes locked. We have some music. I still can't get over that. Nick's and Ruben's eyes locked. Right.
How trying to make is Nick wearing today?
Well, yeah, of his expletives socks. I've got two thermals like a man. Rah. Yeah, trying to make some sense of it all. Look, it's really amateurish, but there's three things, and then I'll go to Nathan.
About United.
Please buy the mag. Hopefully it's a good day. It is dry, so that's changed. So it's a good mag, completely rewritten, and listen to the pod, support the mag. Sorry, we say it for a reason. We're a small mag. Independent fan culture matters, and if you hate all that Sky have been going on about talk shy, oh, and they've got this and that, well, then support people who are actually Reds and, you know, offering it to you to give your voice. You get your voice heard. Anyway, right, so it is very amateurish, and I'll get Roy Keane. That made me, you know, like, concerned about today, the coaching staff. And as an aside, the Jonathan Woodgate in a United jumper jacket made me feel very uneasy. Not because he's Leeds, but because of the affray. Going back, you look, if you're a younger Red, look at that. That incident with Lee Bowyer. And we called him out big time for it in the mag at the time. But then I'm a soft ass, so if I believe in rehabilitation or redemption on some level, not for all, then you got to say time has passed. But it did make me feel uneasy. You thought, Jesus, what? That just sums up United, the bloke we absolutely slaughtered, rightly so, for that incident. Anyway, coaching staff, yeah. But to put that, and United are briefing heavily, see the mag. United say Ruben's coaches, apart from the set piece god, wasn't very good. He wasn't given much. None of them gave much one-to-one, especially Ruben. Now, me and Nathan might squabble, but we agree at the eventual outcome of this next bit. I'm not blasé, but I don't care who United manager is. Of course I do. But I do feel relieved, and I do think this summer is a huge opportunity. There are 8 to 10 managers, big names, available. Usually, United come along and it's a shit show. But this year, because of the World Cup, because of availability, there are a lot of managers going. Now, City will be after. We don't know what other big clubs will be after them. You hope United are planning now. But there's never been a better opportunity not to fuck this up with who's available. And you could even go as low as, not that I want them, but a Pochettino. I think Ancelotti's too old. But these men are all going to be available. So don't fuck it up. But my sole reason is I thought this was going to free fall right now. I don't think, a punt will win today. Wouldn't it be nice to get something in the next two games? But ignore those. Start from the third game onwards. I thought it was going to free fall and we're going to finish eighth. So all that matters about this decision is finishing sixth or seventh or even fifth.
Can I add, you've said that you thought would free fall from this. Why?
Because I thought it was unravelling, and I thought what would happen is Ruben would stay, get more dogmatic. The fans had turned. Now, it's a weird thing because it's not the football that got him sacked. No. It's the dispute. But the football was turning the rank and file off. And he started losing people. And he lost me the fact that we went 3 home games with the opportunity, after all that had happened before it, we'll be fourth. And we got kicked in the bollocks. And I thought we were going to unwrap. And it was going to get the players a briefing. The players aren't happy. And this is how I thought it would derail. And we'd all be going, you know, if at Christmas with him, me and you were both going, oh, God, we're put off by the football.
Yeah.
Then what was going to happen? And so, do we improve? And that will be the worth it or not. But I get the point. Maybe you keep him to the end of the season. It's a shit show. But out of shit shows make the opportunity. Hello, Nathan.
Hello. No, I agree. Like you say, there's going to be a lot of people available. But are they going to want to come if we don't finish? You know, we're, like, I know that we had so many opportunities to get that fourth place, but the way already, but the way that the league's been going, people have been taking points off everyone, that I still think we're in for a shout. And I'm still worried that we've got less of a chance now than we did with Ruben. And if he was, you know, had his heart set on getting sacked, then there's nothing else you can do, is there? You know, I'll stand by the fact that I still liked him, you know what I mean? Like, and if he'd have wanted to stay, I would have kept him till the end of the season, but clearly it was untenable, wasn't it? So I do think there's going to be people available. Are we going to be able to get the best of them if we're not in the Champions League? Probably not. You know, like Luis Enrique from PSG, is he going to want to leave there where he's won everything to go to the Europa League? Do you know what I mean? Like, I still think
United's the draw. That's how we got Mbeumo, that's how we got Cunha. United will always be a draw. We're not the draw.
No, I know, but I think,
and I can be the one.
I think he is. We didn't really mention him last week because we all forgot about him. but if you could get anyone, like, I know that we want Premier League experience and that Emery is the number one for that, but Enrique is that superstar manager of the moment who's, you know, he's done well in Spain. He's won everything at PSG when everyone thought that PSG would never win the Champions League. He managed to do it.
He'd got a team, yeah.
Yeah, he'd be the one that you'd that I'd go for, because I think he's the only one that would really, like, be able to hand, like, we talked, like, again yesterday, we were talking about Glasner announcing that he's leaving. I'd worry that it's a huge step up, and the number of times that we've talked about managers and then they've been overawed about making that jump, and I fear that he'd be the same.
But this club does eat. It worries me what City will do with Enrique. And Carlo, I do think, you know, like I did joke about, but it was an honest story that Ferguson said he gave his all and he had an allure and he was different class and he was the Don. But equally, he was half switched off. You know, he wanted to retire.
Okay, right, I'm gonna
draw him back in.
This is probably not going to be popular.
Right, drum roll.
My hate of the week is this Man United DNA bollocks. Because It's like another thing that I hate is, this is Manchester, we do things differently here. Or when you see stuff online where only in Manchester or only in wherever, when it's things that happen everywhere else. Do you know what I mean? Tell me a football club that doesn't want to play nice attacking football, and if they have kids coming through, would like to play those kids. There's no other club. There's no club that sat there going, you know what I really want? Boring football and no kids that we bring through. I know that there's certain managers.
I can't.
You know, Jose.
Jose
is
the United.
Yeah. And, you know, you could argue that Amorim didn't do that. But as a club, there's no club out there that says that. Do you know what I mean?
Well, your point is.
I get it. And we all want that. Everyone wants exciting football. Everyone would love to be able to see a kid come through and play well for us. But every club wants that. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's nothing.
Your counter
it's
is
nothing
that
special.
Two men have won it in our history, so that's more that, you know, like, the history is more the anomaly, less the anomaly than
I'm sorry for people
I don't think we can call it a tangible thing anymore, because, you know, like, for me getting older, it's more I want to see attacking football, but I also want to win, because I saw my ass over Christmas when we weren't winning. But I do think the men who got us better, the Atkinson, you know, during when the midfielders were effortless and we didn't win the title, but Doherty, the men who get us are more attack-minded.
No, I agree. And, you know, like, you know, Van Gaal was boring as fuck. So but if he'd have gone and won us three leagues in a row, we wouldn't give a shit. Do you know what I mean? Like, yesterday, like, when Pep was questioned about, this is, like, Carrick's the sixth United manager he's faced. Jesus. And someone, one of the journos asked him, like, what is your secret to longevity for being at City? And I know we could say a lot of things, but he said results. And that's the thing, like, if you're winning, You're going to, you know, if you want to be there, you're going
to
be there.
There's the aside to them, we know, cough 150.
No, I know, plus that's also, what I'm saying. But
he can throw out his toys.
True. Like, ten, you
and
know,
then spend half the 100 million.
If Van Gaal had have won the leagues consistently,
we've got to get on with our bit. We've got to ignore the other clubs. You know, like, almost, you've got to ignore what other clubs and base it on this. It's a mad thing because some people are mates who swear by it. Others say, does it even exist in the ether? It's a strange right. Also on this, we've kind of, a couple of people didn't agree with what we said last pod, so I said we love opinions. So Zaid and Russell have given us theirs after this, and we've got a Borough season ticket holder on what he thinks of Carrick, and then we're going to ask loads of people, hopefully now, what it feels like. I don't, it's a really odd,
like, I hope it works out for him.
Keane's dig at Carrick's wife was unnecessary, and like, that'll petty you, mate. I mean, I almost admire a pettiness from a tweet 10 years ago, but they're not helping the class of 92, and we love them as legends.
That's the other thing that I'm saying is, you know, like, it's becoming toxic of this whole United way. Like, there's so many noise, you know, there's so many voices that are saying things. And it's like, you know that Neville and Keane, and they're never going to actually put their names in the hat to take over, because they know that they're probably going to fail, and then that's their punditry job gone.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they're never going to do it. They're happy just to sit on the sides and snipe about it.
There's a part of me that still, you know this because I've said it regularly, that I know Garnaccio's a knob, but I still think he was an attacking, got us off our seats. And when he scores, and I know he's not had a particularly great time, but I do think, and then we went with a manager, and this is a problem we United have inherited, who fucks off players, some rightly, a lot rightly in Ruben's case, but he fucks off players, then they're gone. He was going to do the same with Manu, you know, like, and I'm glad we dodge a bullet, but it's up to Manu to prove us otherwise there. It, December he did for me, but it's such an odd thing that the manager didn't go, where Eric, we lost against Scousers 3-0, Spurs 3-0, and then it unravelled. You know, Jose unravelled, Ollie unravelled in the end. We didn't have that, and we've only lost five. It's just weird.
But I really want Carrick to do well, but my only worry is, you know, this is the first couple of, these first two games are massive.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to. I don't think, like, we'll get tanked
What happens if it goes
bad?
Oh, not just these two games, but I mean, it goes, you know, a bit
further.
Well,
that's why I'm glad Ollie didn't come back.
No, I'm glad about that. Absolutely. Because I said in the group that he we all know he's such a lovely human being, and his exit, like, interview, as it were, when he was in tears, is, you know, he's the sort of person that would have fallen over backwards to have taken the job again, because he loves the club and the fans. Thank you. And I'm glad that he didn't get it, because this sounds soppy. I wouldn't want the club to break his heart.
No, no.
Do you know what I mean?
Break ours, because he wouldn't have everyone on board. Can someone tell me, please, dear listeners, what the term Pavlova comes? Palava, sorry, not Pavlova.
Does it come from Palava?
Palava, where's that come from? I forgot to say, Del Boy, like, my efforts over a lifetime of failure, I've got shed loads of Ruben as a Christmas bauble stickers if anyone wants a job lot. Fucking hell, what
we've
a shit idea
it,
was that?
We've just given a flyer to win a trip to Malta with United.
Oh.
So that'd be nice.
That's got never written all over it. I'd like that, though. My prediction today is I don't think we'll get battered. Just a dreamlike punt, please. But what I want United to do is, if be savvy, dark arts, go down early, play them at their own game, be shit houses, put them off their stride, you know, like, go for the things that are anti-United's way, you know, like, go down, push down, get them yellow carded, get them riled, because that's the teams who do well against get them rattled where Pep's on one. That's what I want to see today. Yeah. So, and I don't know, you think, do you?
I don't have much hope, but I never really do.
That's the spirit. That's the United way of recent.
That
times,
is the United way. We're, that purgatory, as we said about before.
The Escher painting, where we're going up and down the stairs, up and down the stairs.
To me, it feels like it's written on the wall that Semenyo comes, scores. Like, there was never a chance we were going to sign him. As soon as the other week when we played against Bournemouth, as soon as he scored and the way he gave it to the crowd, At that moment, I was like, he's not coming in.
I wish
he knew
wish
that
he
wasn't.
Yeah. He's a great player, sadly.
So it feels like it's written that he's going to score.
Gehee is so good.
Gehee.
You come like the forward movement for a defender.
Yeah. I'd love us to win. It might happen, but I just don't.
Interesting
don't see
side
it.
Plots in that we'll see a lot more of Maguire because him and Carrick get on. You know, like how does it affect which players doesn't he fancy? Most important, we've raised £21,169 over the last 9 years. Thank you, everyone who's donated. That makes such
for
a
Manchester
difference.
Man.
For Manchester Mind. That makes such a difference. Support the mag. I am going to go heart overhead 2-1 to the mighty Manchester United. We're all happy for once.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. See you on the other side. How many socks have you got on?
Two pairs.
Thermals.
Sensible. Just normal socks.
Oh.
It's not that cold. No. It's not cold.
No, it's not. It's a bit milder. Spring is in the air. Spring.
And
for
it's
United.
Not raining.
Right. Cheers, everyone.
Yeah, Barney. I have to say, everyone listening to all the podcasts that I've listened to seems quite relieved. Apparently, that Abraham's left, which is a little bit at odds with all the support, rightfully, that he was getting in the ground. I feel like I may be in a minority here because I'm just annoyed. I think we've panicked. That's my sense. If you look at the other blueprints that are working in the Premier League, they all seem to be based on a real kind of rigid tactical identity. And for us, that would have had to mean taking our medicine and accepting that we were going to suffer. I heard someone on an earlier podcast saying that that was a red flag for me. But I mean, isn't 1989 3 years of excuses and crap football suffering and a sign that sometimes you need to do that in order to be successful? I mean, you've got a graveyard of managers, and I think many of them were crap and never would have succeeded. But are we saying all of them were crap? Are we not looking at the culture? Are we not looking upstairs? I mean, look, I think Ratcliffe is a million times better than the Glazers. But the fact is, neither he nor Wilcox nor Berada can point to any evidence of success. You know, at least Amorim, fine, it was Portugal, but he broke a 19-year title drought at Sporting. He knows how to win. His heart was in the right place. He was a good communicator. And for me, and I think I'm in a minority here, there was evidence of progress on the pitch. We scored a lot of goals. I know we conceded a lot of goals, but it wasn't because we were conceding 20 shots on goal or whatever it was that we were doing with Ten Hag. There were mistakes being made, but he also had some injuries at the back. He also suffered because of AFCON. And look, I'm as upset about last season and in particular about Bilbao as anyone else. I think Bilbao was shocking. And I think he obviously bears a lot of responsibility for that. I don't understand what he was doing with Mainoo. I don't think I'll ever understand that. But, you know, on the whole, I think he wanted to be successful. I think he was working hard. And all these reports of the players being, you know, not too disappointed with his departure. I mean, these are the same players that at the beginning of the season, everyone was talking about greater unity, greater harmony in the dressing room. The fact is the workload, the effort, the running on the pitch was better than it's been at any point in the last 10 years. So, you know, the players or the rumors at least can suggest whatever they want. But I think my eyes were telling me something different. So look, maybe I'm way too patient. I really hope Carrick's going to be a success. I think it was a better choice for caretaker than maybe some of the other options. But, you know, then again, who knows? Where are we going to be in 6 months' time? I mean, the fact is, instead of taking our medicine, I think we reached for that caretaker bottle in the liquor cabinet. And I'm not confident it was the right decision, sorry to say.
Hi, I'm Danny, Borough fan all of my life. Sadly, most of this in the Championship. And I was just reflecting on the recent appointment of Michael Carrick at Man United. And Duncan did ask me to share my thoughts as a Borough fan on my experience of Carrick in our dugout as our gaffer. I think firstly, it's an interesting appointment following the cameo that it had at United which I think could be seen as a success. And probably one of the reasons why we took him on, even though he had relatively limited experience as a manager back in 2022. But it did seem to be a success at United, and I think he brought a lot of those qualities from United to the Borough. I remember when he was appointed at the Riverside. I think there was a big buzz around the crowd, in the fan groups, around the appointment of Michael Carrick, quite the character himself, I guess, being from the Northeast as well, bit of a local lad. Coming into a team which very much needed picking up. I mean, we were flirting with relegation at the time when he joined in that 17th position after some not so great tests with Chris Wilder and Neil Warnock before then. And I think what he brought in at the time that we needed was energy. It was structure. It was good coaching as well. And that all contributed towards him. Winning 16 out of his first 23 games, which, albeit didn't start with a win, you could see what he was trying to do. There was a clear identity that he's trying to play there. But most importantly, I think the impact that the fans saw was his ability to bring the playing staff together as a team, irrespective of who was on the pitch. They all did seem like one solid unit. And after picking up quite some good results, I think he connected in well with the fans as well. He spoke very honestly and very openly as well in pre- and post-match interviews, which I guess is maybe something United fans are used to with Amorim. In terms of his style of football, it's a bit of an interesting kind of transition phase over the 2 years he was with us. He started out really implementing some solid defensive structure and tactics as well. We had a pretty solid back line, and he kind of stuck with the 4-2-3-1 formation as well. But I think, yeah, generally speaking, his climb from the playoffs was nothing short of a miracle. The climb to the playoffs was nothing short of a miracle. Pretty much replicating that wonderful run that Ian Dowie went on at Palace all those years ago. So it shows that he's got an ability to galvanise a team and bring a level of quality to the table as well. But it's a bit of a different context, I think, at United. It kind of fizzled out towards the end. I think a lot of fans grew impatient and a bit frustrated. But I think it'd be fair to say that he did have some challenges in bringing in good quality and having a few players sold or long-term injuries, which probably contributed towards his downfall. It was a little bit like trying to do a jigsaw puzzle at times without the missing final piece. You know, it was a pretty solid structure. It was good to watch. It was cohesive as a team unit. But we all seemed to miss that final piece, particularly when Tubar Akpom, when he was with us, wasn't playing. We couldn't really have a plan B, didn't have a cutting edge to us. So maybe United's players in the front line, Kuna and Wemo when he's back, and even Sesko, might be that final missing piece for the United team and for the fans as well. But I think generally, you know, Borough fans look fondly on his tenure. Maybe felt like they were wishing for a little bit more. I think if I was a United fan, I'd be hopeful that he can bring the group together. I think that's one of the things he does really well, and he did well in his cameo a few years back. I think he'll get the best out of the players from a technical perspective, but he's still very limited in experience. So I think how he handles the pressure, how he handles the expectation, I think will determine his success. On this one, I think only time will tell, but I wish Carrick and United all the best.
Overriding thoughts on Ruben Emmer and sacking is that, as most managers will say who've been successful, that their success is down to the quality of their players. And I think that Emmerich's failure is down to the lack of quality of United's players. Many will disagree with me, but when you consider the squad he inherited from Ten Hag, it's a totally dysfunctional squad, and that was proven in the way United were performing towards the end of Ten Hag's reign. Amorim had one full transfer window noticeably in the summer to try and reshape the squad. Now, you're telling me that's enough when he inherited a terrible squad? You look at Liverpool, who won the league and invested in more players this summer, and they're only slightly ahead of United. So, yet they were going from a position of strength. Emerson was never working from a position of strength with the squad he inherited. The midfield is still Casemiro and Fernandes that it has been for 3 years now. Where surely the midfield needs to be strengthened. Now, is that on Emerson? I mean, he inherited the current midfield and has not been able to has not bought one central midfielder yet. And Ugarte, who was bought previously to his arrival, was not even a regular at PSG yet. United can spend 45, 50 million on him. And Casemiro is out of contract in the summer, as well as Manu. And what the plans there? Are they going to wait for a new manager in the summer before they suddenly decide on those players? That's going to be too late. What's very unlikely that Casemiro is going to renew, and they're not going to do that at 350,000 a week or 300,000 a week. He's very unlikely to take a pay cut. So what's the succession planning there? Are we going to wait till late August with a new manager in place to try and buy a replacement, pay over the odds as we get desperate, as per usual? If I was Emerson, I would have been going, we need a midfielder in January that he can settle so that he hits the ground running next, the beginning of the next season. I mean, I just don't know how any, you know, to constantly overrun in midfield over the last season or two seasons, and yet no, Emerson's supposed to work miracles with that midfield. The signings of Mbeumo, Sesko and Cunha, as well as the goalkeeper Lemons, were critical signings to effectively replace players who'd left, namely Rashford, Anthony Garnacho, Hoyland. It's just, I mean, they were just replacements ultimately and were central replacements of that. It's not like we were working from a position of strength where we had like Liverpool, where we had a settled squad and added two or three players to that. It's effectively a lot of players went out the door. It's not like you look at that United squad and how many of them would be first choices at a Newcastle, for example, or Aston Villa? I think he was slowly starting to mould his own squad, with the goalkeeper being an upgrade on the previous goalkeeper. Dorgu, who hopefully would develop further. Cunha and Bumo, along with Diallo, sort of performing reasonably well. But ultimately, they had to address the central midfield. Now, are they going to wait till the summer to do that? Are people really expecting United, when they've got a caretaker manager and assuming there'll be no additions in January, to qualify for Europe? I seriously doubt it myself. I reiterate, he was given one full transfer window to sort out a poor squad they inherited from Ten Hag, where there needed to be a lot of shifting out of players not performing and getting the culture and right in the dressing room. And I think he was halfway to achieving that. You can talk about systems and should be playing this system or that system, but ultimately he had a formula that worked at Sporting Lisbon that took him from nowhere to league titles. And the board obviously identified him as someone as a long-term manager, and really to discard it that soon, it worries me about the direction the club's going in, the recruitment policies. I think United just don't dominate games because they don't have good enough central midfield, and you would question the quality of the squad in other positions as well. I don't care how much money is spent. That money was spent to start to try and address the shocking recruitment over the last 5 to 10 years. And I don't think anything, if United qualify for Europe this season, I will be absolutely shocked. I personally see us going down the table and being finishing bottom half of the table quite comfortably, when I just think key areas haven't been addressed. And Amarin was sold on the river, in my opinion.
Right, say your name, lads.
AJ.
Well, right, I was thinking about you both last night. Not in an odd way, I know that sounds odd. But I thought you are both, when you buy the mag, voices of reason and perspective. So we haven't had much of that on the pod recently. So where are you right now?
I don't actually know, to be fair. I wasn't prepared for this today. If you'd asked me about Amrim a couple of weeks ago, I would have been my classic sort of positivity and said that at least we had a direction we were going in. So I guess you probably can't really argue that at the moment. But I don't know. I think we're in a position where we've got players coming back. I mean, Ahmad and Brian, losing them was a massive hit. You've had players out injured as well. And I think people sort of... there's a desperation to be negative rather than positive, and it's easy to overlook that. But I mean, you're talking about some of your most reliable goal scorers being away for a couple of games, and then you lose those couple of games and people are going, oh, we're struggling to score goals. And it's like, well yeah, obviously we are. And then the flip side of that is you've got Arsenal and City now as the next two games, and it's like, ah.
Yeah.
So it's going to go probably...
Do you feel it was the wrong decision then?
I don't know. He talked himself out of the job. So I don't. It's difficult to argue with, really, isn't it? Because I mean, if you go off results, then no. If you go off what he said, no. Do I think he would have been sacked if he didn't have that outburst after the Leeds game? Probably not. No. And if he hadn't been sacked, then I wouldn't be complaining about that. Because, like I said, I think we at least had. You knew where you were going. You might have been taking a while to get there, but at least there was a general direction. Which, for the time being, is sort of a bit lost. I think. Trying to be as positive as possible, but at the same time, I mean, you bring in Dan Ashworth, yeah, and we fought for Dan Ashworth for months, didn't we? Yeah, we fought really hard to get him in from Newcastle, and then he disagrees with bringing in Amorim. So, and I'm sure there were other things than that, but effectively, you sack him because he doesn't want Amorim, and then down the line, you sack Amorim. So now you've got neither of those two, and you're left with, I mean, I got no issue with Carrick in charge for the rest of the season. I think he'll do a good job. We know that he was a big part under Ollie, and people largely say that was their favourite football we've played in a long time. But yeah,
would you have gone for anyone else?
He's available, isn't it? It's until, like, buying players. I think one of the Amorim things was didn't get Semenyo, so let's spend that money on someone else. If that someone else is Belieber, Anderson, whoever they may want, fair enough. But not just go and buy some. Body else, like we've done in the past, where we've gone and got Di Maria because we had a bit of money, and then you just make mistake after mistake. So
it'll be if Dorgu was his signing, that didn't give me enough faith that you've got to back him for his next one. And if he saw his arse over, well, if we're not getting so many, I want this. But it's all, you know, there's so many briefings in here. So.
It's one of the things I'd say in Amrim's defence is it's sort of a positive and a negative at the same time. We've gone through so many managers where we've bought players specifically for them. And then this time we didn't buy players specifically for Amorim, but in a system that needed it. So you've got a system that relies so heavily, I said this all the time to you, so heavily on wing-backs. Wing-backs were so much of the attacking output in that. You needed players in that position where if they were in front of goal, they were comfortable. And I like Dorgu, I think highly of him, I think he'll be a good player.
Better up top than...
Yeah, well, on the wing he's looked good, but then again, Amorim was right when he says you put him on the wing and he's got far less responsibility on him. He knows if he loses the ball on the wing, he's got a fullback behind him, and that plays a big part.
Red News has cursed the low. Some lift players, and he scored, and then we've just, you know, like, he's not, you know, as I've maintained, even, you know, he's a sub. You have him in the squad as
a great squad player,
but you don't have, and his weaknesses last week were there. But what even though when the Shea Lacey, what disturbed me last week and is a thing from Amarin, you know, we have pressed at times, was Brighton in the 90th to 95th minute showed a pressing and intensity that I've not seen here. You know, like they were really, really honest. And yeah, they had the man advantage, but I thought they're knackered. And yet they're still totally, totally adhering to that system. Whereas we have players who see their asses or don't adhere, you know. Anyway, what next then?
Oh, you just see where it goes, don't you?
Who would you have in the summer? Are you eyeing anyone?
I don't know. I mean, so many names get thrown around, but you don't know what to take seriously. The only thing I would say is there's a lot going around about them really focusing on Premier League experience with managers. And I sort of think, well, okay, let's imagine that Liverpool, when they were getting Klopp, went, oh, actually, we don't want him. He's got no Premier League experience. Or City, when they hired Guardiola. I mean, I see where they're coming from. And it's something I've said about players for years, is if you buy in the Premier League, you know what you're getting. But at the same time, for managers, I think that's different.
Experienced manager, whatever that may be.
Someone who can handle pressure.
I think we still need to bring a midfielder in this window. Whoever Carrick would
this,
want for,
this
six,
window.
For 6 months, just alone.
Even alone, yeah.
Just
yeah.
alone. But and I'd not Loftus-Cheek, but... Well, surely, you know, that was, is it Pete Shaw, who was, is there 30,000 footballers in the world? You know, there's got to be a couple of midfielders out there who are pissed off in, like, Turkey. I'm not, you know, we just need an extra
another
body
number,
in there.
Another one.
We're weak, you know, even with the... Anyway, the once a week really worked out well. Will, have you got anything to add?
No, he said it well, didn't he?
Get writing for the mag, come on.
I'm always positive in the sense
of...
It's all right then. It's less, I'm not negative so much. I mean, yeah, I don't like it. I mean, we're used to winning things and all that, but we're spoilt fuckers, aren't we? Yeah. Sorry for the language.
No.
We're spoilt. We've had it so nice and so good for so long. I can't stand the Glazers. So Jim's a little bit different. I'm not quite as bad on him as I am with them, because at least he's done more in 1 week than what they've done in 20 years in the put money up of their own, and also did at least get interviewed, whether people like what he said or not.
I don't like them.
I mean, I like them. It's levels of dislike.
Well, until they're done with, until the debt is dealt with, we are just traversing this trapeze. But ultimately, you know, like, I still have no regrets, you know, about United life. I still love going. I still get a buzz this morning. We might be storming, kicking chairs in 80 minutes in, but I still love it.
Well, without it, what have we got? You know, I mean, it's
life.
A shitty life. It's people moan and their football club loses, but I always go back to Doncaster Rovers. You know, they have not belittling them. They have nothing.
No.
You know, they never win anything. They never get chance. We've had all this, and even when we're shit,
but
we
also
still win some stuff.
To get profound, I have the ghosts. You know, this morning I think of my dear mate Rob all the time. You know, we're doing stuff that other people would love to be here right now. You know, like, who aren't with us. So yeah. Right, scores.
I never predict a score, so I'm not doing that.
Sorry, say that again.
I never predict a score, so I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I'll stick with that. I'm not going to give
it. Oh, dear.
I also don't predict, but I'm gonna go on to what you said about being positive. And I said the sort of my ethos, for sure, pretty similar to yours and pretty similar to yours, is if you asked me about Dalot in a private conversation, I'd say, do I think he's good enough to be our right back, our first choice right back going forward? Probably not, no. But I think he's a good squad player. The difference is, I get into that ground, and I think he's the best fucking right back in the world. And if anybody comes up to me and goes, oh, you know, because, I mean, the things people call him in there is awful. Say it in private, have your conversations, get in there, make all the noise in the world. I mean, that place, when, like, the Lyon game, City games of old, when it gets rocking in there, it is nice. Unbelievable. Yeah.
But that's, like, online, you know, Dalot, for people, I've had a couple of people give me stick. You think, he was a nice bloke, you know, like, some of the abuses. But also, when we're in there, they are. Let's get back to an ABU, Will. If an ABU gives it, I say Dalot's fucking world class. What are you going on about, your toss up? Yeah.
And people are pissed off online.
Quick words. Oh. Right. All right. Cheers, lads. Cheers, thanks for stopping. How you doing?
How you doing? Good to see you, Barney. How's things?
Where's your mojo, quickly?
It's got to be a new manager bounce, isn't it? Glass half full.
Are you gutted about it?
I was. Then I reflected, and I think it's probably for the best. The guy was just too stubborn. And I think the Wolves was the straw that broke the camel's back when he put in five at the back. So, in my view, I don't think Carrick's the answer, but short term, let's see how it goes. I think, unfortunately, change was probably required. Remember what happened at Brentford?
Yeah.
We said it then, didn't we? Yeah. We've got to be positive. 3 points today, point at Arsenal. Managed to get a ticket for that. Are you going?
Yes.
We'll meet for a beer before then. 4 points in 2 games. That's my prediction.
Right, lads.
About Amorim? Yeah. I thought sacking him in the middle of the season was the wrong thing to do. I thought he should have stayed to the end of the year. However, the press conference, what he said, you can't really keep him. Happy Carrickson, I think it's probably the best choice for now. And I'm not sure about today. I'll take a 2-1 win. I'll take a draw.
I'll take a 1-0
today. Okay,
right.
Sure. Take
anything.
That long for 20 minutes and not pressing.
Oh, don't say that.
It's now recording, though.
It's now recording. Fucking too early in the morning. I'm stressed out of my eyeball. The logistics, thanks for sorting the logistics. It's very tense sorting all these mags and hoping you'll sell them. And,
it is, isn't it?
Yeah. Right, so Ben, where are you? Hello, mate.
Hello, mate. How are you, Barney?
Where are you with today?
I've got a seller.
Cheers.
I'm all right, mate. Just looking forward to Michael Carrick's reign to the end of the season. Hopefully it goes well for him, but I'm not agreeing with all this Leeds United malarkey going on here. First you've got Wilcox messing in meddling in things up in there. And then now we've got Jonathan Woodgate. Yes, I know it was Carrick's number two at Middlesbrough, but it's not a good look, is it? You know?
I just
like I said in the last pod, what Wilcox, when he goes off, I fancy myself as a bit of a manager. Who's he actually managed?
Cheers, David. How are you feeling today, mate?
Okay, yeah.
Going to win?
Not sure about that.
Yeah, so, but who's he actually managed? What right has he got to then go to someone like Ruben Amorim, who's managed at the very highest level, you know, managed European games of football and that, to say, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. Oh, it's just this football club, isn't it? It's just upside down, topsy-turvy. It is a circus.
Glazers out, but you know, for us at the bottom pit face, what can we do? You know, like, I know there's people walk away, easier said than done. Do you agree with Carrick?
We had a bit of a thing for Solskjaer last podcast. I actually thought it would nail on for Ollie anyway. But I don't mind Carrick. He was all right the 2-3 games in charge last time, wasn't he? Just hope it just goes well for him. I think maybe he was a little bit too big for Fletcher. As much as I love Darren Fletcher, I think maybe
he stepped back.
Yeah. And he'll do well Friday night for the under-18s FA Youth Cup here at Old Trafford as well. So
did you go last night?
I did go last night. Because he scored two goals, because he's obviously banned today, isn't he?
But that's good for his confidence, because I thought he was wrong again, but I didn't think you should send off a player, you know, by the letter of the law. Yeah, you're a twat, ref.
Like I said at the end of the pod, though, Barney, you know, he was angling to send someone off in a red shirt.
We've seen older players given leeway on something like that. Yeah. You know, like, really? Anyway. I still get utterly biased about this football club. Nick, how many socks today?
Just three.
Three. But why don't you wear proper socks? Manly socks.
You weren't here, so how do you know what socks I wore?
I can tell.
How did you
lock eyes with Ruben? You the romantic music.
I was running down Deansgate and into the traffic lights. That was all it was. It was just.
Did you really lock eyes?
Yeah.
You should have gone on the pod. Should have gone here.
Well, that's right. Always ask.
The lights change.
Always ask for the mag. Always ask for the mag.
He was in his car. He was driving. The lights change.
Have we got any hope today?
I think it'd be 0-0. I've got to be honest. I'm not very enthused about. I'm not enthused about Michael Carrick in the slightest. The guy, people keep telling me that he did really, really well at Middlesbrough. I've got people that watch Championship football at work, that are season ticket holders, that know far more about the Championship than me, and said he did a terrible job there. You know, he had the money and he could have done a lot better than what he did. I think the coaching staff's really underwhelming. Maybe Steve Holland, you can maybe argue, he's got a bit more experience. I don't think he would have been my personal call. I don't really like the idea of a caretaker manager. I think it sort of signals that you're giving up on the rest of the season. I don't really think Carrick's the kind of guy that's going to motivate anybody. The only positive that I can see out of it is hopefully he can maybe try and extract something out of Ugarte and Casemiro, you know, with him working closely with them. What I would have preferred is I probably would have gone back to Solskjaer to get someone working with Sesko a bit more regular. I feel so miserable about now and the rest of the season that I'm not confident that we'll get European football. I think we'll go back. I think it'll be 0-0 today, because I just think it's a lunchtime game and it's a bit sleepy. And we've had a couple of these games against City down the years, haven't we, where we played them at 12:30 on a Saturday, and it's been 0-0, it's been a dull, boring watch. And I can see a bit more of that today.
Hello, Nathan.
Sorry, Nathan.
I'm so miserable about Carrick. Yeah. I feel so let down
about it. The only thing I would say about Carrick, though, is at least it's someone that might care a bit more than if he bought a Ralph type in there. We're out of all the cups, he'll just go and bin it off.
Good, mate. Thank you. Where are you right now?
From a place called Dundalk.
And how do you feel?
Should win today, 2-1.
And Amarin?
Amarin, I don't think it was the right decision about it. I think if you've looked back from even with Ragnick, with the players, from the managers that talk against the board, they're just going to get ran out. But from, I think what Amarin was saying was completely right, that the higher up should be worrying about their own jobs and let him worry about him. I think Radcliffe should have been back in his word of what he said, of saying we need to give him more time, but I think the pressure just got to him and had to give the
appreciate
what he done.
What's your name, mate?
Luke.
Cheers, mate. Right, Brendan, Luke's dad, thanks for the long-term support to the mag there. Right, we better finish because we've got to sell and we've got loads to sell today. Right, I get about the ex-players and like the DNA is a long, long pub talk, but I'm tired of the circus. I'm just tired of having to overthink about Manchester United. Steve, like, I want to go into this ground and not think. I want to be entertained, have a laugh with my mates, have a few pints and enjoy the day. And I still refuse to let suited twats who I want rid of, and if we can, some youngsters can think of a way we do that, I'll walk out, I'll boycott, but I'm not giving up this drug. But if you can think of ways to do that, marvellous. But until that moment, up the fucking Reds. Love United, hate the Glazers, but I just don't want to complicate my life with more United doom. And this is all unexpected. I didn't think it would happen 2 months ago, but ultimately 2 months ago, I what was I saying on here? Rubin will probably not, he'll take us a little bit forward and then he won't be the man to take us that next yard and he may be gone in the summer.
He didn't even do that.
Well, but we've got Mbeumo, we've got Cunha, we've got better players than we had.
Oh, well, there you go.
Let's give a prediction, lads. We'll carry this on and on as the doom laden season continues.
Go 1-0 United.
1-0.
0-0.
2-0 City.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Let's not get the doom looked
in. Let's just see. You can't.
Being a realist.
No, you can't polish a turd. But, and it is a turd and it's a farce, but you know, like.
Yeah.
It's a good pie for Gwendolyn. Okay. All right. Take care, everyone. See you on the other side.
That's why.
Live on hearing, this is my first drink of the year. Excelsis, is it Excelsior?
Let it set it. Drink. Put it down.
No.
Jesus Christ.
Drink of the God.
That's your first sip.
Stop it. Nothing beats the mojo. That was fantastic. That is why we do it. That is why it's a drug that pulls us back in. That is, yes, let's not ignore all that's happened in the past, but we need games like that, and we got it injected into our fucking bloodstream again. Glory, glory, Man United, I thought. The whole team, we deserved it, we battered them, and Bremo worked his socks off even when it wasn't coming off. I thought Martinez was my man of the match. Maguire, sure, no, Dorgu, we can't have any outside noise. But it was just... one of those days where you think, give it till Carrick to the end of the season, I'm joking, whatever will play out. But my ultimate thing in the pre-match was, will we do better in the next 5 months if we just, now, you know, we sacked him? And I honestly thought we would. I didn't think, you know, I'm giddy we'd win today. But we will do better. And that is why he's gone. He'll look on ruefully.
Any one of us could have done better.
Any one of us round this table could have done better than what Amrin's done in the last 6 months.
So
with the team we've got.
How did you feel about the news, Danny, before we get on today then?
The news that he'd gone?
Yeah.
I was ready for him to go, yeah. I was happy with it, definitely.
And Carrick and everything since?
Yeah, I think Carrick was the right move, not Solskjaer. You can't bring Ollie back after paying him off a couple of years ago. And Carrick... Yeah, I'm a bit dubious about some of his backroom staff, but I don't know, you know, Woodgate and, you know...
Well, inspired choices, well, fuck him.
But, yeah, yeah, I don't know, but yeah, no, yeah, I just... You know. Today was just great, wasn't it? It was just, we played... It didn't matter, if he'd have finished 1-1 today, it didn't matter. It was the style we played in. Exciting football, you know, it was good to watch. I enjoyed it, really enjoyed
the atmosphere was fucking great as well. Buzzing, like, 12:30, where not many people have had a drink. Hello, Paul.
Oh, yeah.
Me and Paul had a drink.
We've had a drink. We went out early doors, weren't we?
Yeah, we're heroes.
You're
like the NHS during COVID, aren't you? But how good was today? Come on, Steve, you're the giddy man.
No, it was really good, wasn't it? I think everyone's a bit surprised. I didn't expect that to see that today. My dad came today, and he says just keep it under four. which was
kind of the optimist,
kind of the level of expectation, really. But no, it's tremendous that everything worked, didn't it? I think their tactics, like, we were content to let them have the ball, but then once we were, you know, we were playing on the break when they had the ball in their half, that's when we were sort of it was quite an intense press. Saying to Danny on the way here that they're not the team that they were three or four years ago. They make more mistakes. They're still a good team, but they're just not. You know, you can get the ball off them if you press them, and it works really well. That kind of tactic, just like pressing them when they were trying to play out from the back. But
I know it was a derby today. They were. Every single player today was absolutely superb.
Yeah.
100 mile an hour. Can they do that all season? Well, they can this year because he's no.
I didn't even think that they managed to, like, in recent years, we've not managed to keep that level of intensity for 90 minutes.
They've not managed to keep it for 20 minutes.
No. Yeah, yeah. But they did today. I mean, they could have gone in at our time thinking, fucking hell, we've not had the run of the green there, and you know, and oh, what if, and you know, you automatically think that we're going to regret that.
But they
just, like, there's no problem, was there? We're just miles the better team.
Where Carrick will deserve, I watched, and I don't watch the other tip, but City, Brighton it might have been, and Brighton, I think City won in the end, but Brighton had, or did they get a draw anyway? Brighton constantly tried that lob over the left or right backs, where then you get in Bremer and Ahmad running on, and he's obviously studied that to think that's the way of getting it. And I will, like, ultimately, we are not paid millions of pounds to get these decisions right or wrong, so we can moan about all the fucking things that are going on. We are there to go kick off a storm about the suits, but support our team. And if you get that back, challenge the suits, nothing would make me happier than winning 10 on the trot and then going Ratcliffe out, Glazers out. But today is why anyone who says, why do you still do it? Why do you still? That is the ultimate. Steve?
It is better than sex. I'm like 45 next, and I like, do you know, get in, get out. That's it. But
is that Old Trafford?
Or? No, Trafford. Both.
Get in, get out.
I don't want to be there all day.
Jesus Christ.
And she don't want that either, if we're honest. But
on a midlife crisis.
Yeah, I was going to put an edit in then.
But today, when them goals go in, there's no feeling like that in the world.
No.
Is there? It's absolutely mega.
The feeling I get is you two behind. That's what worries me. Both of you.
I'm really intrigued, but sometimes I go to United to be the kid again. I go to be the 10-year-old. being lifted in the air going, and I held Gaz, Foxy and Steve next to me where I'm up in the air, and I haven't got all the worries I'm going to have on Monday morning and the anxiety and all that shit. I'm just going to fucking balloon like an idiot. And I loved it. I loved, but even as you, if we'd have drawn, I loved that we showed, because United have down tools, even when they didn't down tools under Amrin, but they've been sack of shit. Today United went, we're at home, we can utilise the atmosphere and we can fucking turn up. And we don't see, we're Manchester United still through all the shit shows. Turn up, show some fight. You'll have the crowd with you.
Well, the crowd, I mean, crowd are great today. But when you've got so much to cheer about, yeah, when you're playing attacking football, it just comes naturally, doesn't it? Yeah, when you're playing Amrin style football, sideways, sideways, backwards, it's dull as shit.
Slag Amrin in forever.
No.
To be fair, I stayed today for the first time in God knows how long because I wasn't bored.
To be fair, I said the same to my dad. We left at 8:05, which for us
is unheard.
It's about 30 minutes early.
No, but I had to take him out early, get him on the train. He's a pensioner now. As he reminds me himself constantly. Couldn't run for the train, could we? We had to amble.
He put the brakes on me for legging it. Stop!
We had to amble. Come back. But my dad stayed till 85 minutes today.
But that's it, like all the hammering, all the concerns about calling out the suits. They are cunts, but you can't survive as a manager doing it. But ultimately, as I say, December killed me. Finally, after the sixth attempt, we go fourth. When he wasn't here for the sixth attempt, Ella Shane.
Yeah, no, you said it already. It was just magical. And I was just, you know, we've all have our weeks at work or whatever, and you have the shite at home. And I was actually thinking, walking down here, it's the first time for a long time that football's emptied my head of all that shite. You know, usually it doesn't, because it's been crap. But yeah, the old fellow in front of me turned around and he said, Shane, I'm shaking. I haven't felt like this since the cup final, you know, when we beat City. And it was just, I just thought the fight of the team, a bit more courage, like not afraid to get a booking, not afraid to dive in and risk a card, you know. Give them show them who we are. And I just thought the whole team were great. Even Dano, I thought, after Jero Carver was.
He had a better set up, but he was atrocious.
He had a better set up.
As he said to me, I've jinxed the cunt. But constructive, as his argument is, constructive is better than destructive. And I sort of get, as like at the ground, but he was terrible first half, second half. Spit the dog, one bit. I cannot stand Pep spitting like a dirty bastard all the time. He spits 100 times a fucking second. I hate it. He will kick off about below being sent off, but fuck off. You get your coaches back half a mile.
But they did. They were. I was quite shocked at how downtrodden they looked. You know, just from us
Ireland
getting out of a bit like
taken
yeah.
off was brilliant. And the only getting a transfer. Yeah, it's tomorrow.
It's one of those games, isn't it? You come in at half time and you think, yeah, we were all saying on the concourse. It's just one of those days, isn't it? We have all the possession, all the chances, and it's going to backfire. But it didn't. We just carried on.
I just looked on the stats now, and I'm not. I know. I'm sorry, taking your thunder here, Nick. I know I've never done this before. We had 32% possession.
That's interesting.
We had 11 shots. They had 7. We had 7 on target. They only had 1.
And what do you make of that then?
I don't really know. I just thought that's what you should talk about when you talk about football.
Before we degenerate back into things, the other thing I thought was a big difference today. Was you know, I'm in the scoreboard, so you know, you're behind the play or in front of it, whichever way you're looking, whichever way it's going. And I thought our shape off the ball was way, way better today. There was way less gaps.
Got tied a bit.
It did get tied, but that's natural, isn't it? And you're playing a good team. But I thought we were way, way better in shape.
It wasn't just a mindless press, it was very. It was very. So when they were attacking, they were content to let them have it. Then they were breaking. Yeah. But then when they were trying to play out as they do, like. Usually fucking very easily because we don't press at all. That's when there was that intense press when they were in that.
I thought Bruno was very controlled in the right ways today, knew when not to get giddy. Casemiro did what he's done this season, we haven't mentioned him.
Yeah, he was looked so much more mobile and more fluid with just him like picking it up.
He was talking a lot as well, wasn't he? And it looks like half them players are actually footballers.
Playing close together in the midfield, Casemiro and Mainu, and that's,
little passes
that's
and stuff,
something
good.
That Amorim would never ever have done, slagging him again. Still talking.
No, I know. But there's a couple of things that
the Manu thing was baffling. You know, yeah. If the team was doing well, him not getting a minute. Yeah. Manu. Don't get me pronounced. Right.
Manu had a splendid game.
Right. I will quickly. There's a couple of. Will supported the pot. Because he said, too, Peter and Will said they heard the appeal last pod saying, buy the fucking mag like Bob Geldof, and they both bought it. So cheers, Will, Peter, everyone who gave support and bought the mag, sold out, 12:05, we'll have more Fulham. Right, Nick, hello.
Hello. First of all, get in. It's going to be great Monday morning because most of the lads in my office are all Blues. There's me and one other lad that's a United fan. Go.
Can you text them now and ask them why they get bussed into a ground in their own city? Can you text him now?
I will find out.
The police was putting lines on us. We was walking and they're all getting in club coaches. Like, can you ask them why?
I think a few of the phones might have stopped.
I've got no idea where they're getting one as well, as we were getting on the bus, shout abuse, get on your coaches. And you think, you've just got the coaches.
Yeah. I'm going back to Manchester. I'm like, so are you fucking dicks. And the scruffy, and the stink.
Right.
They were the worst away supporters, but they were terrible.
They'd gone by 10 minutes to go. And if you think, if there's one team on, I hate, but that could pull it back. Yeah, and it's like, they fucked up.
You just walked past a load of them hugging on Dean's.
Yeah, well, we've seen loads of Scandi Blues, everything that they hated about us, that they've, and that's not a dig at all the long term. Right. Any other good
poor Nick hasn't said
Pride of Singapore sure. Lost, didn't they? That's fine.
Martin is a McGuire.
I just thought everyone was great. And I think that even the keeper having the game management to just try and slow it down and I just thought everyone was brilliant.
Was it Paul on Thursday who sent Onana saying, I could see a role future back at Old Trafford for me? No. Onana. It was like, let's nip that in the bud right away.
I'll tell you who I've been very critical of, and he looked a footballer today, was Dorgu. He had a terrific game.
He's probably a left winger then.
Yeah,
forward.
He's not a left winger where he's going to run at you. I was watching him a couple of times and I thought he did okay today. I got it wrong, but
he
I thought
ball in the box, Danny. And we scored from it.
Yeah, I generally thought he was man of the match today. And I think Dorgu,
Martinez,
all day long, 100% Dorgu from an eye side.
Yeah, but
I thought everyone was great. Don't get me wrong.
What fickle fans? Didn't you get a photo of Dorgu that you're now showing off? Yeah, but you've slagged him off for 6 months.
Yeah, yeah, I've slagged him off, but as I said to you, if
that'll be the pod photo,
then call
you and Dorgu.
But in fairness, I slagged off Carrick before.
I hope he's sat home slagging you off. That wanker wears five pairs of trainer socks when it's cold.
He's a really good player now. I really like
he's
him.
He's an intelligent footballer, really, which is rare in this.
He was fucked with five.
He was fucked. Yeah, but he's been asked. He says, you know.
I thought he was very good. And I thought Dalot, to be fair, today was all right. And both the fullbacks had clearly been told, make sure you push up. When we've got the ball, they were both there on the overlap. We there was space to exploit, and we were fucking pretty good when in possession.
You just seen the tactics today were quite simple. They were four at the back, five.
You're right.
It must be good.
I just thought it looked like just sensible tactics today. It looks to me there were four at the back, five in the middle, and then we all broke as a team. And it was like, right, left back, right back, get down the wings when you can. It was just like, not overcomplicated, very, very simple.
Why can't we have more of this drug?
Fast.
Why can't we have more of this drug more often? Why can't we have more of those?
I think we had our fix in the 90s, man.
I just wanted more.
Before Coggy comes in, there's one thing we have to say about, like, of all the shite we've talked about. Old Trafford, when it's bouncing like that, cannot be beat. It was fucking superb, like, particularly when that second went in, or the first one in even. But it was just, it's a great place when we get those days.
And when people like start saying it's falling down, it's a load of nonsense.
About 500.
Absolute load of nonsense. There's no ground better than it. Everyone says, oh, it's a nightmare to get away. It took us 10 minutes to get here on the buses afterwards. Do you know, it's not. There's fuck all wrong with it. Paul and I were talking in the pub before. We're 1 year into a 5-year plan of having a new stadium built. Train line's not been moved. They don't even own the fucking ground they want to build the stadium in. It's a load of fucking nonsense.
Read the mag, because Carlo called that
a year ago saying, you know, whatever they're saying about the timescale, it's not going to happen. And then we're a year down the line and nothing's happened.
But why build a ground? Ultimately, a new football ground, all it is a concrete shell. So fucking regenerate the one that you've got if you want to do that.
They haven't got got the money to redevelop that one. So they have to fucking sell everything and asset strip that to raise the funds to do fucking anything.
And all that. Which is why enjoy
and
this.
And then United will be left
you're hitting the head on
the side. United will left them with a 100-year lease on the fucking Ineos Bowl.
Enjoy what we've got while we can. And today's are the days in the last whatever years we've got left of United as we know it.
No, I thought you meant in life.
No, right, what are your three out of your hates?
I can't remember, I wrote them down.
Yeah, write them down.
Tell them about your sleep.
Oh, last night.
He actually said to me during the game, I think I might have slept too much.
Tell them about your sleep.
So last night I had took the little girls to bed. She feels a bit left out because we've had my little boys. No, we had my little lad's cousin round this week. So he's been slaying over, so my little girl feels a little bit left out. So we got in bed last night at 6:30 to watch K-pop Demon Hunters. We had
I've no idea what that is.
What?
K-pop Demon Hunters.
Oh, mate.
Is it a Squid Game?
Super.
Squid Game type.
No, mate, she's 5. I'm not going to let her watch Squid Games. I'm out.
No, so the American, you know, like, contestants.
No, K-pop.
Okay.
Korean. So we had treats in bed. She fell asleep about 7. I watched 2 episodes of Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And I think I fell asleep about 9 o'clock. And then woke up today at 8 o'clock, I think.
So 11 hours. So what time did she wake up?
I don't know. She just fucked off.
Did she try and like, because Albert smacks me in the jaw, like, wake up.
She's not asked.
Right,
Eight of the week. Right, influencers. That's my first one. And the reason I say that is that any fucker thinks that they can do this. I don't get what it is. I don't understand why people would want to watch other people's lives. But I was walking to
Mine
are 2 minutes. Here's what I think of my Uber that I bought. Not videoing a fucking person walking down the street. And then after about 3 minutes of walking, this person went, oh, I think we've got enough content now. I was like, what the fuck? Who's going to watch you walking down the street?
I would watch you walking down the street.
I'd walk you.
Your content, you. I've liked and subscribed for years.
Yeah, and subscribe.
Yeah, I do. My other hate of the week is Big Tesco near me. Fucking massive. It's fucking huge. So you have to go for an escalator.
It's not the Tesco itself.
I'm not nothing against Tesco.
Other supermarkets can sponsor this pod.
Other people might like Tesco. Other people might not. But I have to get an escalator to get in it, and then I get up there. There's a hairdresser's in this Tesco. Yeah, it's got all. There's a Greg's downstairs in this Tesco. And anyway,
well, Greg's fine. Hairdresser. Who goes to Tesco's as I want my haircut?
Well, I'm not going again, and you'll hear why in a minute. So I got sent with a list. And you go in with your trolley. There's the clothes bit, which is fine for people who want to. For any City fans listening, if you want to buy your clothes, Tesco's the place for you. And then you sort of go in, and there's like the big bargain. So, like 24 cans of cherry coke, all that. And then it's fucking massive. It must be about 150 metres long. So on my list, it says cheese. So I went on the cheese aisle, and it is a fucking aisle of cheese. Too much fucking choice.
Too much cheese.
I just
don't
want. I want.
I,
no, but I want
cabinet.
The.
What you want? Five
no,
cheeses.
I do. I want. Like, I want my Friday
what,
night
like Norman
cheeses.
I want my cheese. And that's it. You don't want
but outside.
Artisan cheeses.
But, you don't want outside cheeses.
I want, like, if it's Friday night, Lauren's sending me for cheese, then I'll go to this section. But she's sending me for cheese, and it's either, I either want yellow cheese or orange cheese, right? I don't need orange.
Red Leicester.
Well, whatever. But I don't need a fucking wall of fucking cheese.
Right, okay. So cheese it's not Tesco, it's just how big it is.
Just how we don't need
ham,
that much choice.
Ham, where do you stand on the ham? I don't think ham is like the ham that we grew up.
Why is he shouting ham at me?
Because I don't think it's ham like it used to be.
Yeah, but you've got your...
It's shite ham.
Well, no, you've got your regular hams.
Yeah, but it always looks...
And then you've got your ham bons.
The ham looks ill.
You got your what?
Ham bons.
You take the piss out of my...
Jambon.
Right,
jambon.
Right, come on.
Jambon.
What's the last one? Because my back comes running low.
Oh.
He says it's character building.
People on the... Well...
I thought you were going to say me.
I don't mind, right, flip-flops in the summer, absolutely fine, right, not got a problem with it at all. If you want a nip to the shop in your flip-flops, not got a fucking problem with that at all. What I do have a problem with is grown men being on the train and they've got whatever they're wearing, they've got socks and they've got, they call them sliders, yeah. Don't they? Right, A.
I have a pair of sliders at home for the
garden.
Oh,
God. Yeah, for the garden.
And for swimming with Albert.
But why wear them?
Because I don't want to take... They say you have to take your shoes off at the entrance unless you have sliders.
Do they stipulate sliders? Well, they call them sliders.
I have not got grief, and I've seen people called out for having shoes.
So your swimming pool grasses on people?
Yeah, for having shoes.
What a set of wankers.
He's talking about people going on the tram or uptown, and it. You're talking about going somewhere.
Well, to be fair, I'd ban them full
Can
stop.
Can I ask a quick question? Yeah. Any hikes of the week, Paul?
No, not really.
You never have hates, do you?
I also don't like menus and flowers in front of me when I sit down.
How many pairs of socks has everyone got on today?
Didn't mind. On snow day last week. Lauren made me.
Is this when you never have days off, but you have loads of days off?
It's not my fault if my employer decides to shut my place of work. So got new socks, new undies for Christmas. Lauren made me throw away all my holy ones and things and sort that drawer out. It was so fucking therapeutic, I tell you.
Bamboo socks are the best.
I've got these ones on at the moment. I've actually got two pairs, so these ones have bees on.
Yeah, are they bamboo? Bamboo socks.
I think these are.
Yeah, yeah.
Have we won
today? I think they're two pairs for £15.
Goggy, what do you make of today?
Let's have a sock off.
Do you know?
You started this.
I'm obviously absolutely delighted. I'm gutted that third goal was disallowed. I'm absolutely gutted. And I just listened to Adrian Durham on the radio, and he said he can't work out why he was given offside. But I just, I love the
day, wasn't it?
It's the intensity. Well, just, you know, Danny was saying about it. It was nice to bring some excitement back. It's fucking brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And I just fucking hate City, so it's great.
Is that your hate of the week?
No, my hate of the week's Roy Keane, actually, for being a vindictive bastard towards Michael Carrick's daughter. Wife, sorry. Yeah.
And a digger.
Can we just do a quick poll? Who would win in a fight between Coggy and Roy Keane?
I'll tell you in a minute.
I'm loving the fact that it was 12 years
the size
ago.
Of him. That's petty.
No, it's brilliant.
But can I just say, loads of articles. Carlos, there's an anonymous lad who shot himself at Christmas. He's in there. He's written an article. And Tim, though, 6 pages, Mark Hughes and a dog. And it's just amidst the... everyone writing about Amarin, he's written 6 pages about Mark Hughes and a dog, and basically it's a very silly story about the camaraderie that exists on trips at United between coaches, trains, cars, and it sums up that thing we all have, and you'll remember that something so minuscule will be a great laugh, great day, and if you were on that trip you'll always talk to each other about, do you remember when we did this? And everyone at United, or football in general, would have those moments where you can't stop laughing about something that happened. And Tim's story is about just one of those coach journeys. And it actually, bits of it made me laugh out loud because of the camaraderie that exists. Man United is brilliant. I know it'll go to shit, but I maintain it'll be a better shit than if we'd have stuck with Amman. So on that note, anyone else?
Eamon Holmes is my hate of the week.
You had him before.
I don't care, but he's coming back.
He had a portrait of him and Fergie.
I hate him, But other than that, I hate City and I hate Eamon Holmes.
That was going to be my hate of the week.
What, Eamon Holmes?
City. That's
he still can be.
Isn't it sweet?
Right. It's probably been the best game of football that I've probably been at. The most enjoyable game of football. Since the FA Cup final. Well, Leon probably here as well.
So that's the whole of Amarin's... Oh, we're at it again, Paul.
We've had
slagging him off, sorry.
To be fair, the Bilbao away game was great.
Derby's the biggest game, home game of the season. You know, it's like... And to not just beat them, but to dominate... Like, the other thing, aspect of it is, we could be...
it was entertaining. Like, yeah, it was actually entertaining. It, like, just beating City in any way would be a great, we'd be buzzing.
Yeah.
But to win it and without entertaining.
Deserve it. Not scabby. Not scabby Reds. Yeah. Properly deserved it, Reds.
We said Savani before the game came and we saw the team come out. I said, oh, look at that back four. And I was like, God, they're there to be got, aren't they? I was like, if we can make advantage
of that.
Well,
one of your City mates said,
you know,
what did
I was
he
like,
say?
He said, well, Rico Lucy start. He said, you might as well have 3 points now.
That's good. Let that seed of harmony. So, Haaland put a transfer.
That's how they feel. He texted me that with 5 minutes before kickoff. So Rico Lucy start. He said Rico Lucy start. He said you might as well take the 3 points now. That's how City fans feel about him.
I thought he's all right. I didn't think he was that bad. Game, he was a number 82.
I thought as a love of the week.
Foden was
shit. He was terrible. But as a love of the week. Scrap hates the week, cause apart from City, because they're big scruffy bastards, aren't they, with the kicker boots. But the thing that I love of the week is, fair play to Carrick today, because I was really critical of him before the game, because I don't think he's the right person to take us between now and the end of the season. But what he showed today as a blueprint was packing that midfield down. Has worked particularly well for United over the last few years. Solskjaer did it well when he benefited from success. Ten Hag had done it well previously as well when you'd seen like Bruno Fernandes line up on the right and all the rest of it. And he'd learnt from that today. And I generally think that without Carrick, I don't know if we would have won that game. So I will hold my hands up and I'd be fair
play.
He had a great game plan today. Fair play to
the other thing, not to see Ollie destroyed, but it is only Borough. But he's had a lot of grounding in football. He's managed 150 games recently, and I know it went to shit in the end, but he's managed a lot of games. So let's not get it, even like Welsh Phil's thing was, what if we do suddenly well and we finish third or fourth? Would we give it to Carrick? No, 1,000% do not give it. Finish as high as you can, Michael. Your chance might come again, but start talking the proper interviews. One thing, I hate Sunday brunch. What's Lovejoy? I've always hated him. Always hated Lovejoy. I've sometimes wondered, you know, when they, Mrs. loves it, and they sample that food shit that they eat off that scouser. I wonder, like, if they cook that, like, early morning, what does it, if anyone got a celebrity got the shits of Sunday brunch, I hope they'd sue it and the whole fucking show comes crashing down.
I really dislike Simon Rimmer.
Sunday brunch.
Yeah, but what about it?
You know, they give them food and they all go, oh, it's lovely. Yeah, yeah. What if it's been cooked in the morning and it's like prawns and it's gone off and they get the shits? And this is my thought process, how the whole show could end. That would make me happy. The other thing, right, one, this is an obtuse one. Odd rumours that weren't true that you believed to be true. The one thing,
Schneider's on the plane.
Bob Marley was not killed by a Danny Baker tackle in a football celebrity match. Wikipedia that. That there was a rumour that Danny Baker caused the tackle. And the other one that I can't work out, did Oysters kill Michael Winner in the end? Didn't he get so badly ill that he then...
I don't know if that's killed him, but he was ill because of a bad oyster in Barbados, I think it was. But yeah.
Any other odd rumours? Yeah. I was thinking this New Year's Eve.
Donald Trump is too random to just approach me that. I need to do like...
Well, think for next time.
The rumour that Donald Trump's not senile is totally wrong.
Any others?
No.
Right. I think someone mentioned it. I love you all, I'm really giddy. Someone mentioned it in the mag. Sunderland did a thing, first game of season, where they all held up photos of the people who they'd loved and lost in 2025. I know it sounds smarmy, I think it's a really good idea. For people who had carried Sunderland through thick and thin, pre-kickoff, they all held up, and it's apparently a Union Berlin thing that they've got from Germany, where you all hold up if you've lost someone you love, mum, dad, grandpa. I know I'm a soppy cunt.
I don't agree with this.
No.
I don't agree with clapping for 7-year-olds who've been run over. I just don't agree with all of this. No, anything.
See, I'm a softy fan.
If it's a club dignitary or a famous player,
which is what Burnley does.
No, but I'm
Burnley
saying,
do it against saying, us. Had a list of all. Had a minute silence.
Pre-match. Everyone who's passed, I think.
No, put their name up on the scoreboard. Happy birthday, Doris, or whatever. But or you know, I'm just not interested.
My mum was called Doris. She died 2 years ago. What are you doing here now?
Right.
What are you doing here?
Go on, claw it back. Last moments. Come on. Come on, Nick.
What a day. Honestly.
What a night it's going to be.
You look at, if you're talking about that Lyon game,
I mean, what was that, April last year, was it, when we played Lyon, around that kind of time? I mean, crikey, it's been a while since we've had something that's been a feeling like this. We're talking 8 or 9 months. That was brilliant. But the performance was just incredible.
Beat Fulham.
Everyone
beat
was
Fulham.
We showed you we can be today, but can you continue it? That's the question.
This is where, and if it was an American soap opera in the 80s, it would go, to be continued. To the regiment, up the fucking Reds. There is nothing better on days like today.
Right. I think today, you know, the atmosphere from the word go was absolutely fantastic. What other stadium in the country can create an atmosphere like that with a lunchtime kick-off? Fucking nowhere.
Save Old Trafford.
Except Old Trafford.
Save it.
Unbelievable.
To the regiment.
To the regiment. To the
one game. Word today.
Fantastic. Unbelievable performance. Martinez, outstanding. Great to have Amadillo back. Great to have Mbeumo back. If you'd said to me this morning that United had the ball in the back of the net 5 times, would hit the bar, would hit the post,
yeah,
City wouldn't have a shot on target, and I said you're on fucking magic mushrooms.
Well, you looked at me when I said we were going to win this thing.
I did, Barney.
Yes!
And as I said, the pessimist is never disappointed.
Fucking great. Inject it in. Cheers, everyone. Sorry, it's one of those pods that turns into a marathon. Go on, repeat what you just said, Mike. What did I just say?
About the one thing with Amorim.
I think he did some things right. I think he did good things regarding discipline. But at the beginning of his reign, when I've just bought multiple tickets at X cost for me and my son and my daughter, and he says, you're about to be shit for the next few weeks, and this is the worst is to come. How do you instill a little bit of optimism taking your 15-year-old and your 12-year-old daughter to the game when your manager says, we're about to get turned over every week and the football's shit?
They're suffering.
I wanted hope and optimism. I told him we'll beat Southampton and we'll 1-0 down with 10 minutes to go. Thankfully, a man saved the day.
I think, unfortunately, in this era, every footballer needs to be told they're great. The days of you're a twat, it's shit. I've gone.
So do I as a fan. I need to. The Glazer thing is so big, it would have destroyed anybody else. So we as fans who've been ripped apart, we need hope and optimism. We need to be able to turn up with your mates and have some entertainment, not just
doom.
It's because it is doom, isn't it?
How do you feel, Mike? Sum up today.
Today was more than I could possibly have hoped for. It's been on my mind for the last 2 days. How I could walk around with a little cloud lifted off my mind. I dreamt we might get a result. And just before we went in, I know I was full of dread. You said, well, 2-1. And I thought, I'll take an 0-0.
I would have.
When we fucking...
I did have a
good
feeling
about it. When we scored, I was ecstatic. And I thought, I don't want this taken away now. I want to see it through. I want to win. I want to go for a drink. I want to walk around with my head held high all week, smiling at all the bastards around my way with the blue shirts, pulling their bins in every night, and I'm going to wave at the fuckers.
Oh, fuck, nah.
Today.
Yeah, today. Unbelievable.
No, but sum it up. You ask me one word. Go on.
Fucking like I said to you last time, static.
It's hope, it's optimism, and it's going forwards.
I said it just a minute ago. We're not like United fans of old, obviously, what we want. But today was just a bit more of that. Not, we're not dreaming of, you know, like, just give us more. And as I say, the proof will be Fulham home, win at Fulham home. We're going to have dents. And I honestly, Carrick, at the end of the season, what happens, I'd say thank you, but thank you very much. Plan, go forward, but more days like that. And the mad thing is, even during our shittiest spells, you could name now 10 or 15 that we have this club. Every time you think you're out, they pull you fucking back. Cheers, everyone.
Hello, everyone. what?
It's 6:30. The game finished hours ago. But I'm sat here with Nick Barlow. And he's just said that the worst bit about all the rest of that podcast that just happened is he wasn't really on it. So
I never said that was the worst part.
You did. That was his words. So Nick, what did you think about that game?
I think I'm just genuinely, like, you've never seen people sit in those chaise, and it was just full of smiles, and it was just full of people just fucking going around. But I thought Carrick did an unbelievable job today. I was so critical of him before the game, and I think rightly so in a way because of what we've seen and what we knew. But I just thought he did a great job. I really did.
We can't get giddy though. Don't get giddy.
I won't get giddy.
No.
100%. No.
You can get giddy today. No, you can be giddy about today, but don't get giddy in the long term. Don't get giddy. Because where did that? No.
This is why you're banned from the podcast. This is why you were not ousted. You were ousted from Rain Bar before.
That's why you sent me somewhere else. So I went to watch another game of football, and then came back in town, and Nick sent me somewhere, and he sent me to the wrong pub. He sent me to the wrong pub. So, I'm generally, obviously, very buzzing about it. I didn't have any expectations. But I'm going to say, I'm more shocked at how shit City were than how good we were. I'm going to, because we've got some good players. We have got some good... I generally thought we could have won that by like 5 or 6 goals. No one thought that was good. Not in anyone's wildest dreams did we think that could be. Did Lammens make a save? I don't remember him making a save.
One thing that I did say on the podcast before was I thought that people didn't really applaud that how good Lammens' game management was. I thought it was class.
No, it worked.
Coming out for a corner. He barely did anything today, but exactly. What he did was perfect.
Yeah.
And that's what a goalkeeper should do, is just calm things, chill things out, and I thought it was great for that. But as things go, I did fucking not send Nathan to the wrong club. Barney sent Nathan to the wrong club.
We were really good. We were really good. I think the first goal.
I'm not being funny, but that's genuinely good. If you look at the fact that you've got to play City, you've got to play Arsenal in your first two games with Michael Carrick, and you're thinking, well, look, these are the best two teams in the country right now. And they are the best two teams in the country. That is
Liverpool
really
drop points.
Yeah, which is wonderful. But it's encouraging.
Is it on?
Well, we're only 14 points behind Arsenal. I said to Steve, no shades before. I went, is it on? He went, of course it's fucking on.
I think. I'm not going to answer that question. But. It was good. It was like. I came into it with no expectations at all, but I thought we played really well. We absolutely deserve to win that game. It's not even a case of that we scraped it. Do you know what I mean? We had 3 goals disallowed that were borderline. We hit the woodwork twice.
Do you know what the favourite thing that I've had is? Everyone's always texting me on my phone right now. Fans of different clubs, you know, Blackburn, Oldham,
right,
or whatever
Mr.
it is.
Mr. Popular. Go on.
But people have texted me and been like, going, you have 32% possession. That's a stuffy win.
I don't think it was.
I'm not being funny. You didn't watch it. If that's the way that you're looking at football, and you think that is what, not a chance. Like, they were lucky that that wasn't 5-0 today. Yeah.
They generally were.
That back line was there to be got at.
And if it wasn't, even like Donnarumma, like, he's a big bastard. Even if it wasn't for him.
It was good, but he was shaky as well.
I think they were, the whole back four was shaky. We were at them. And I think, brilliant. I loved it. It was, I've not really said much. I'll take back that I had doubts, but I'm.
You can't take them back. The doubts no. is fine. No, bollocks. No. But if you've got doubts, that's fine. You could be wrong, and that's okay. Like
I know you're wrong a lot of times.
Yeah, of course. Well, I'm not. I was perfectly right on Weeble. But my point is, though, is like sometimes you can be wrong. It's like my take on Amad has been wrong. I think it is.
We've just rewatched that first goal back, and that is exactly the same as that Liverpool goal when it's last
time. That's what Man United football is, though. Let's be very, very clear on that. That is what Man United football is. It's that counter-attacking, get ready for it, move at pace, and everybody at the time was screaming for Bruno to play the ball to Amad, and he just waited and waited and waited. And fair play, Bruno was outstanding today. He was probably the second best player on the pitch after that.
Yeah. What a day! What a day! And on that note, have you got anything else to say?
Wear a mustache. Don't wear any Ben Sherman on Monday. Don't wear any kicker boots. Don't take any bananas into work just in case.
On that note, to the regiment, love you all. Goodbye. Glory, glory, Man United.
You know, hard to believe it's not Scholes, it's Carrick. You know, hard to believe it's not Scholes. United 2, City 0. Yes! Wow, where was that all season? Where's that been in all season? What a performance. What a performance that from United tonight. I tell you now, that is the best I've seen us perform in a long, long time. Credit to Michael Carrick. Credit to his coaching staff. They were absolutely bob on today. Absolutely bob on. The tactics, the formation, the starting 11, the substitutions, everything perfect today. We absolutely dominated City. They hardly had a sniff. They had nothing today, City. We defended brilliantly at the back. Harry Maguire, quality again. You know, the whole team today, quality. Absolutely quality. And Mbeumo getting his goal. Zayden called it right. He said Mbeumo would score the first goal today. Didn't you? You said Mbeumo would score the first goal, didn't you? Yeah? Oh, I tell you what. What a performance. I'm so for the moon. I really am. Just cannot believe it. You know, I thought we might nick it 1-0 today. I knew we'd keep a clean sheet. But just to put in that performance at 2-0, absolutely brilliant. Honestly, really good. Zayden, have you got a man of the match? Can't you pick one? Whole team was good, wasn't it? The whole team was absolutely fantastic. Credit to everyone. Maynard was brilliant today. But Dorgu getting a goal as well. We had about three ruled off for three goals ruled out for offside in the whole game as well. And whatever else, whatever Mount's goals ruled out for. I don't know what that was ruled out for, but yeah. Absolutely brilliant today, United. Absolutely superb. I can't fault anyone today. I can't fault anyone. The field goal factor today. You hear it? Hear this? It's about, you know, if Michael Carrick just brings the field goal factor back from now to the end of the season, it'd be absolutely brilliant. You know, we miss this. We miss this completely. Old Trafford is rocking. We miss this. We needed this big time as well. Fair play to Carrick. Fair play to him. He said he'll bring the enjoyment back, and he brought it back with a vengeance today. honestly, the way McGuire Martinez defended today, absolutely superb. But Martinez was absolutely outstanding. The whole back line, Luke Shaw was brilliant. You know, Delo, I know he infuriates at times and pisses people off, but he was brilliant too. Ahmad non-stop running. You know what you get with Ahmad and Buemo. They just run their socks off. But Argentina, 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 Argentina. He was brilliant today, Martinez. Oh, Jesus. I can't pick a man of the match because I think they were all brilliant today. All brilliant. Wow. Barney. Wow. You know, we question stuff sometimes at the club, backroom staff, you know, do we, you know, have we got enough, you know, what's going on in the back, you know, in the high up, in the hierarchy. But when you put performances like that in, you know, I'm just proud. I'm proud today. I'm proud of the club. Proud of the players. You know, proud of everyone today. Fantastic result. I'm going to leave it there because I'm going to end up swearing and I don't want to swear too much. But yeah, I'm going to leave it there. It's Ben and Zayden again. You're going to say glory, glory, Man United?
Glory, glory, Man United.
Come on! Yes. To the regiment, glory, glory, Man United, and up the fucking Reds.